following takes place between 6 p.m. and 7 p.m.
Hello, and welcome to Tech Access Weekly, a podcast of unspecified length concerning news and events in accessible technology. This is episode 98 for Thursday, June 23rd, 2011. Mobile. And hello, everyone. It is Thursday. Getting another one of these out on a Thursday.
Everything seems to happen during the week, and we never can get it out on the right day, even though we tried to pick Wednesday because it's like the most relaxed, simple day, no travel and all that. But this week it was like travel and everything, and then today I was just like busy with work stuff after I got home.
And yesterday it was me that got two unexpected shifts, so I was at work till 5 o'clock, and so we thought...
Cha-ching!
Yeah. Anyway, all right, let's do this. And get it done.
Okay. And that concludes this chaos you've been listening to.
Tech Access Weekly. Yeah, episode 98. You know, we're coming up to the 100th episode, and we'd really appreciate anyone's ideas or suggestions for things we might do to have a sort of, you know, memorable episode. You know, we're really boring people, so anything you all can think of, stuff we can cover that's maybe memorable, any ideas you can think of how we can creatively kind of like execute this thing, please let us know.
Yeah, actually, if you are on Twitter and want to, you could send things to a hashtag TAW100.
There you go. That's perfect.
Send comments. We can do that. Mm-hmm. If you want to send audio tweets or something, you could do that using Cue Audio.
Or any kind of audio.
Yeah, or you could call the voice line. That nobody ever calls, because I don't know whether it actually works or not.
It works.
It does?
Yeah.
Okay.
But anyway, send any audio tweets. We can play it on, you know, we can play it during podcast, give you some airtime.
Yeah, just tag it with the hashtag and we'll get it.
TAW100.
Yes, pound TAW100 on the Twitter, yes. Or you can hit us up with the email.
So, moving right along, we didn't really have very many email listener comments this time.
I still think we should give away iPads.
How could we possibly give away iPads? We can barely afford to keep doing this podcast.
Doctor's office, see if they've got like an eye chart or something. No?
No.
Think people would be gypped?
Yes.
Okay. I've been pushing for it, folks. I know you really want one, but it just doesn't work out. She thinks it's just stupid.
It is stupid. You just need to know how
get
I feel.
Coffee mugs with eyeballs or something on.
That's disgusting. No? That's like the CSI people or the NCIS people. They left an eyeball in their cup, in their drink.
Yeah, that was a little disgusting.
It was a robotic eye. No, wait a minute. That was a real eyeball.
That was a real eyeball.
Ooh, that's right. I thought it was a robot one, but it was a real one. Anyway, we got sidetracked there.
Why, yes.
Not too much listener mail. We did get a lot of tips from a couple people. So thank you so much for that.
Yes, very much so. We will jump into the quick stories here, try and make this not so long like last week, since there was so much going on. In a story from last week, Citigroup has finally said that out of the tremendous amount of users that use their services for banking, only 210,000 accounts were affected from the recent hack, which was basically... someone accessing an account and then noticing that the URL had the account number. That was just bizarre. So they hacked some information based on card numbers. Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, if you know what a card number looks like, you pretty much can pick it out.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, you may want to be aware of that if you are one of those Citigroup people and you think you may have been one of the hacked folks. Scammers... like there's not enough scams out there in your email, now they're coming after you with your telephone.
Yeah, if you got a Windows PC, they'll call you up and say, "Hi, we're with a security company, and we'd like to run a free scan on your computer, and we'd like to help you do that over the phone." And so people say, "Okay," and they all of a sudden, these people have access to their computer's innards.
Yeah, they're giving them remote access to it. They're mm-hmm. able to pick up any data that they want to, and they even some are brazen enough to actually say, "Hey, we're going to charge you a small fee for this," and people bite.
Yes, brazen.
You know, because they're, yeah.
Good word for you, dear.
I know. I was trying to come up with something.
That could be my word up for the melting pot this weekend, just because you said it.
Wow.
Oh, anyway,
I'm
sorry.
Impacting the show in more ways than just one.
You impact my life in more ways than one, dear.
Yeah, all negative. Oh, and Sega. Snega jumped. Sega.
Sega.
Yeah. Sega jumped into the being hacked arena with their password system being hacked. They have 1.3 million users that probably have their usernames, real names, birth dates, passwords, and pretty much everything else that they possibly could put in the Sega website, and it's all gone and hacked.
They say there's no credit card information that's been hacked, but, you know, what do they, I mean... I think they half the time I think that these companies say that not to freak people out, and then they'll come with a, oh, by the way, if you have credit card problems, please let us know and we'll take
care exactly.
of it.
Exactly.
So, you know, because that's what Sony did. So, but
so it's basically a bad situation where all these different Anonymous and LulzSec, which I think have actually merged into one organization now, are just wreaking havoc with all these different companies and everything, you know. Mm-hmm. Doesn't make a whole heck of a lot of sense because, well, you're not really impacting the companies. You're impacting
the
users,
consumers.
You know, I mean, I just don't get it. Mm-hmm. But I love those guys. They're wonderful.
Yeah, they're great, aren't they?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Just fantastic human beings.
Yep. Support them all the way. Mm-hmm. Go, dudes.
Go, hackers!
Speaking of another hack, if you have a blog out there, WordPress.org has been hacked. Well, sorta. There was code injected into some plugins, I guess you would call them, that people may be using on their website, such as Add This, WP Touch, and W3 Total Cache. The original authors did not put this code into their plugins, but it was inserted maliciously. So WordPress.org has asked all visitors to their website to reset their passwords for WordPress.org, BBPress.org, and BuddyPress.org. I didn't know about the other two.
What's BuddyPress?
I don't know.
That's a scary name right there.
Maybe
could go places with that.
Maybe they're making those dolls from the 80s. My buddy.
Maybe.
Maybe not. Showing my age? Yep.
Yep. So,
pretty much.
Anyway.
Mm-hmm. Now, in a scary little thing for people that are most likely using Dropbox.
Which is like a load of people.
Yeah. And they pretty much will store just about anything on there. Well, this past Sunday.
Dropbox.
Sunday.
There was some kind of weird thing going on the Dropbox server, and anyone, anywhere in the world, no matter what password you had, could access anyone's account without a password or anything, access anyone's files.
Yeah, so if President Obama had something out there, you could actually log in as President Obama using the You Suck or 12345, which is kind of like some idiot would put on his luggage, you know.
Yeah.
You could do whatever you wanted to.
And get to his files.
All that information.
And one of the reasons that, I mean, it happened so easily is because Dropbox stores all of its data on central servers. The encryption doesn't happen on your computer before the data is sent out. It happens on their server. So whatever their server had to hold people back, essentially, got broken. And
they were rolling out an update or something, and it broke something. Which is, I mean, very easy to do. And now places like Lifehacker are showing ways that you can use TrueCrypt in order to encrypt a zip file.
Yeah.
There's actually a program called Secret Sync that you can use on Windows that will actually... password protect folders.
Nice.
But I haven't checked as to whether that's accessible or anything.
Yeah.
But you may want to check both of those out if you are worried about the data that you are putting on Dropbox.
Yeah, I'm kind of worried. I have some data on there that could be sensitive and was pretty floored to hear about Sunday's fiasco.
The Mushroom FM staff meeting minutes.
Not that.
So, anyway, moving right along into a little bit more happy news, depending on which way you look at it, Mozilla Firefox has now been released in version 5, release.
Yeah, they're doing this to compete with Google Chrome. Chrome releases an update every 6 weeks, so Mozilla feels like it has to get into the game of, you know, firecrackers, fireworks here, and just push out releases quickly. Firefox 4 seems like it was just released yesterday. It really wasn't yesterday, but seems like it.
Only in April.
And now, 8 weeks later, Firefox 5, say that three times fast, is coming out. I should have said five times fast. It's going to have some new features in it. Mozilla views it sort of as a minor update from 4, in addition to the, you know, better desktop integration and the security and stability fixes like you see in every update. It does have some new things rolling out in it.
Yeah, they're going to have better support for standardized things like HTML5. They're going to have CSS animation, which granted probably will be greatly irritating for websites that you try and visit. They're also going to have an add-on SDK, Software Developer Kit, for those acronym challenged. And they actually have a beta version of a web builder, which will allow you to develop your own add-ons, amongst other things.
Yeah, and they're also going to have some improved interaction with graphics. Their Canvas system, or whatever they call it, the way they interact with graphics is going to be updated.
Yeah. I just think this causes havoc for developers that need to update their plugins.
I mean, like, I'm stuck on version 3 point whatever because Delicious and WebVism never updated. So they're still in the 3 stage. And in order to keep them, I have to stay at the 3 stage until they figure out whether they want to update or not.
I think I might have actually seen a tweet the other day saying that WebVism was updated, but maybe not.
I've seen a couple of tweets complaining that it hasn't been updated.
Ah.
But, I mean, I can always upgrade and try, but I know the Delicious doesn't work.
I know there was a link saying that there was a simple way that some plugins could be fixed by just changing a parameter in the actual plugin itself, but I don't know if it would actually work or not for WebVism. But yeah, WebVism is one of those things that you probably don't want to get rid of.
No, not really. Especially since I have found it useful and it works fairly well. So, yep. Anyway, moving right along.
We can now have our own Tech Access domain name.
Yes, Tech Access Weekly. Woo.
That'd be a little long.
Yeah, a little bit.
.taw coming at you.
.taw. The organization ICANN, ICANN, which approves and disapproves of and kind of governs the whole domain setting process, setting generic top-level domains, has, you know, previously only approved a small, you know, minority of domains.
Yeah, I think the last time they actually added domains was like 2004.
Yeah, okay. They added .biz and .tv and a couple other things.
Okay.
And one I had never heard of, .arpa, A-R-P-A.
ARPA?
Yeah, I don't know what that is. And some country codes. Isn't that what
the noise a seal makes? ARPA, ARPA.
Something like that. And then a bunch of country codes like Lee and N and DE and all that kind of thing.
Now, just before you jump out there and say, oh, God, I got to get my name.
So there are some restrictions to this. The application process, I don't think it's officially been started yet. There is a user guide, which you can find on our Delicious website, about how to apply. There are some major restrictions here. It costs $185,000 approximately to purchase one of these top-level generic domains. And you have to maintain it because it is actually a piece of internet infrastructure. And there apparently is a lot that goes into maintaining these things. So, you know, keep that in mind before you jump out there and decide you want to purchase one. And no, there will be no TAW domain, in case you were getting your hopes up.
I just don't understand why they would want to do it. I mean, it's kind of one of those things where, okay, how generic are they going to let people do? Are they going to let Amazon go after .books?
I don't know.
Are they going to let Sony go after .movie?
I don't know.
You know, if Sony was to jump out there and get .movie, what's going to happen to Netflix and Time Warner and Warner Brothers?
Well,
and all these
I think
places.
They have some guidelines laid out.
Yeah.
You know, maybe that they're not telling us, but I don't know when the process is going to start. I think it's like next year or something.
Yeah. Hopefully it's a better process than the current patent system, where basically you can do a patent for Face and Book because your company name is Facebook.
Right.
Please.
And Apple trying to patent app.
Yeah, I just don't.
Trademark the word, I should say. Oh, did you know Sarah Palin is having her name trademarked?
Yay.
Total randomness, but I heard a rumor about that, and I thought it was sort of funny and disturbing at the same time.
I wonder if she'll go after the adult film parody of her life.
Ooh. Oh, boy. Mm. I don't know. Maybe.
We're not going there.
But we won't go there.
But yeah, there was supposedly something put out last year, or back in 2008 or 9 when she hit the news areas. But yeah, I can kind of see where, okay, if you got .coke.
Yeah.
And you were able to say, oh, if you want more information, go to diet.coke. That'd be kind of cool. You know,
yeah.
Or drink.coke or mm-hmm. something, you know.
I don't know.
Anyway, things that are in a sad thing, instead of just being downright confusing like that one, Verizon is now going, as of July 7th, going to get rid of unlimited data caps.
I think the people who have them can still keep them, but customers going into a new contract or new customers just signing up need to be aware that the standard sort of 30, 50, 80 thing is going on.
Yeah, so for $30 a month, you can get 2 gigabytes, which AT&T is cheaper with $25 for 2 gigabytes, $50 for 5 gigs, and $80 for 10 gigabytes.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Let's say that we're happy with our 200 megs a month.
Yeah. Limit. Yeah, because that does pretty good.
Yeah.
Although when we were having the tornadoes here, I hadn't switched my data usage back from the 2 gig limit, and I was kind of glad because I was hammering it pretty good there.
Yeah, you for a couple days there you were, which is totally understandable. And of course, there was the time that I accidentally streamed Jazzy and Snazzy over cellular instead of Wi-Fi.
Yeah, so three
that was
hours,
interesting. Two hours.
2 hours. No, it was.
It was two hours.
Yeah, it was a 2 hour show that basically ate up
75%. It was like 160 megs of the 200 meg limit for the month.
Yeah, and then once you get to that point, you're like,
yeah, exactly. But even when I was traveling to Indiana and doing all the like Foursquare check-ins, and I did occasionally read Twitter, albeit occasionally, and I checked my email at least twice a day, I still was nowhere near 200.
Well, I think they say if you got 1,000 emails a day, you would get close to the limit. If you listen to 6 hours of music or something over internet radio or something every single day of the month, you would easily hit it. I played live streaming one day for like 2 hours, and it seemed to use like 40 megs or something. So it wasn't tremendously huge. I was thinking, oh, it's going to eat up half of it, you know, but it didn't really. So mileage may vary.
Mileage may vary, exactly.
Now we can go into some accessibility things. What about those blind students needed for conferences?
Yes, absolutely. At the NFB convention, which is coming up in a couple of weeks, on July 7th, they need some blind students to come and help them test out some Braille math reading materials. Pearson Publications is putting out a new textbook and needs some students to help, see if they're doing it right, I guess. So from 7 to 9 p.m. on July 7th, you can check them out. I don't know what booth number it's going to be, but I guess when you get to the convention, you can sign up.
And you can probably check it out at nfb.org.
nfb.org, yeah. So on their convention page, which I'm sure they have one. So they're needed for that. Now, Code Factory has come out this week with a piece of software that will give you access to your digital TV and its controls. It's called TV Speak, and it's available to people in the U.S. I don't think they have it available to people in Europe as of yet, but it is essentially a Windows-based software that you install on your computer, a computer equipped with a digital TV antenna and tuner card. And if you have this installed, you can play with your TV's controls and do a whole bunch of things that you can't do now, such as look at your program guide, record shows either with or without pictures, find out which channels have audio description, and a whole bunch more. So it's a very, looks like a very promising thing. It's now, not when, something now, that we can test.
Yeah, but, now when you're saying it's something to control your TV, it's basically on the computer.
On the computer.
It's not controlling your Time Warner cable box or your Comcast or anything like that.
No.
You basically are creating a home theater PC, and you can either project it to your TV or you can watch it on your computer screen itself type of thing.
I have no idea how much it costs. Go to codefactory.es if you want more details.
Yeah, pretty new.
So yeah, pretty new. It was just released like 2 days ago, so that's all the information I got.
And I guess the reports are Mac accessibility is improving with the wonderful OS X Lion.
Yes, Lion is coming out, like we said last week, $29.95 in the App Store. There are a lot of accessibility improvements. We mentioned a couple of them last week, but a few of them I find really interesting.
Hmm.
One of them, of course, is you can get high-quality, nuanced voices from the App Store. Why would you want anything if you have Alex? He's, like, so awesome, except the whole breathing thing just freaks me out. But
I need Julie because she's cool.
Well, she's not in there.
I know, but still.
Yeah, cool.
I'm waiting.
Another interesting thing you can do with Zoom that I didn't know about, which was, like, magnify certain small portions of the screen if you want to focus in on something. The Zoom features have gotten, I guess, better. The touch interface has gotten more complicated. Like, you can do more things with touch than you could before.
Yeah, you can do gestures with the mice and trackpads and such.
Yeah. So, you know, the voiceover, I think, also has a couple other accessibility improvements, a couple of which I don't really understand because I don't use it. But it's got apparently different modes, like it uses more processing power or less processing power when it does certain things.
Hmm.
You know, reading text, blocks of text versus browsing the web, I think. But, you know, so check out, we've got an article that discusses it. And, of course, when you install it, you'll find out what all's there for yourself. But I'm not quite sure of all the rest.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to follow all of that when you don't actually have the program right in front of you. But I will toss out the idea that a lot of people have been asking about, well, if you have to purchase Lion in the App Store, how can you ever restore? Well, evidently the word has come out that from developers that you can actually install Lion and it'll create a restore partition on the computer so you can actually restore from that. I guess it's kind of doing kind of like the old Windows thing of steady state that you could do with Windows XP. So that's kind of good to know. Plus there's a burnable ISO file that you can create a CD or DVD. Well, I guess it'd be a DVD. From in the installation. So they're kind of getting it covered, even though everybody's kind of freaking out with, oh my God, I have to buy it.
I'm not going to have a DVD. I don't know when the last time was I opened a Jaws DVD.
I don't know.
I have the DVD for 12, but I couldn't tell you exactly where it is right now.
I know. DVDs. That's what it is. I know what we can give away for 100th episode.
Oh, I know.
Autographed DVDs.
There you go. Seeing as how we have that roll of like 100 in there that have never been opened. Waste. I think maybe there's 50. I don't think we have 100, but anyway. Yeah, autographed DVDs.
Yeah, there you go.
No big thing. That's what we'll give.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe not.
No, don't think so.
And a couple of quick hits. SoundHound has been updated for the iOS devices.
Yay, SoundHound has been updated, but the big news in this update is that it is now VoiceOver accessible. The last update apparently broke something, and it wasn't accessible anymore. And now it is. They fixed it. Also, in an iOS update.
But I will mention real quick on the SoundHound that Daryl Shandro over at Blind Access Journal did a demo of the updated SoundHound. So you may want to head over there to check that out at blindaccessjournal.com.
Yeah. And also updated Foursquare. And I will mention this because in the Foursquare update now, the tweet share by Twitter and share with Facebook buttons are, when you check in, are now not labeled. So you're not exactly sure which one you're pressing. The developer has been contacted and seems willing to correct the problem. So it should be fixed soon.
And Twitter's going crazy over a new GPS app.
Ariadne GPS, A-R-I-A-D-N-E. In case you didn't know, Ariadne was the girl that helped Theseus through the labyrinth. She strung a thread and he was able to follow the thread back. And then when he left the island, he sort of forgot her and left her there, which kind of was sad for poor Ariadne. But anyway,
evidently was fugly.
Anyway, apparently she was very beautiful. Anyway.
You don't leave the pretty girls.
The reason that I point out is because the app comes up and it shows you your location streetwise. So it's got like a big exploratory map on the screen and you could run your finger over it if you're a voiceover user. Or look at it if you're a visual user.
But the only way you can actually navigate is with voiceover on.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, because if you actually look at the map with voiceover off and you try and move the screen, it just sits there. But
really?
If you turn voiceover on, you can swipe left, right, up and down, that kind of thing.
Huh, I didn't know that.
Or at least when I tried it.
Anyway, so it presents things to you in a big map. It's not the traditional turn-by-turn get directions like GPS you would think of. It's more to let you know what streets are around you and street numbers and everything. And from a visual perspective, it shows the landscape.
Yeah, it evidently is using probably Google Maps, and it gives you like the landscape. You can see the highways and the buildings and things like that, which is kind of cool. It's just using satellite imagery. I used it going to work a couple days, and yeah, it went right along with the route and everything. It would be great if the app would actually give you a list of where you went. If it could tell you that, you know, that way you could actually backtrack.
Yeah.
But I think everybody is pretty much excited just because it does actually give you a map to where you can finger around and sort of figure out, okay, here's my home street, what's around me in case somebody needs directions.
Yeah, and that is pretty cool. I will do it as a tip at some point if I can actually figure it out. But it's pretty nice. It's not what I really want, but I can see where people can find it useful.
Yeah, I mean, I just think it's good that it's actually an accessible map.
Oh, absolutely.
Most GPSs are not anywhere near.
Most GPSs, I mean, VoiceOver just shuts down and doesn't even recognize there's a map.
Yeah, like with Google Maps.
Or like with the Yahoo Maps when I went to get directions using the iPhone, the Maps utility that's already in there. It doesn't even recognize the maps there.
Yeah.
So.
In other things, iCloud apparently has been found to not continue to store or forward your emails after you hit the 5 gigabyte limit.
Yeah, apparently you get 5 gigabytes of documents and contacts and addresses and everything
and
in there.
And backups for your
backups
iOS.
And everything. And it says, that's it. But instead of like dropping off your documents, it starts dropping off your emails from the storage.
Yeah, you would think that maybe they would set it up so that you have like a secondary email account, and then next thing you know, it'll actually send it to that account if you hit the limit. I mean, email is kind of a lifeline for most people.
I know.
Especially businesses and things that you might need to be able to get access to that. Hard to say.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of strange.
Yeah, so that's a little bit of a drawback and a little bit of a wah-wah.
Mm-hmm. Something you need to be aware of if you use the iCloud.
Speaking of Apple, they have actually updated Final Cut Pro 10 or X, whichever way you want to do it, which is a program that actually allows you to create videos and such, like regular studios. People are criticizing it because some functionality that is in the old version is not there anymore, and they're kind of like, I'm going to have to find something else.
Yeah.
And it is not compatible with older projects that you have already developed and such. So you'll have
to
redo it. They've also released a new version of the Time Capsule, which is basically a big hard drive that you can store information on. They've got a 2 and a 3 terabyte version of that. Seems like it is probably a little bit expensive. I didn't get the prices for it, but you'd probably be better off going with something from Hitachi, Seagate, or Western Digital. Pretty much the same thing. Unless you're an all-Apple family, then you might want the Apple Time Capsule. Apparently, the Apple TV and Mac Pro line will possibly be updated later in July or August. Brian Tong over at CNET in one of their recent Buzz Out Louds mentioned that a source he knows said that new updates are coming. So if you are in the market for one of those, you may want to hold out. The iPhone 5 or 4S or iOS 5 or new iPod touches and all that may be coming out in August or September. It is not really sure
which one.
Rumors right now are September 7th would be your opportunity to pick up a new device of some sort. And into just kind of a bizarre thing, the warship that had the at-sea burial of Osama bin Laden, or Usama, depending on if you're Fox News or not, in November will actually be holding a basketball game courtesy of ESPN.
Well, apparently the game was going to take place anyway on some aircraft carrier, whichever one was in San Francisco. And right after the burial took place, it was found out that this particular one, the USS Carl Vinson or something, would be in San Francisco at the particular time. And so it was decided to hold the game there. And who are the players? North Carolina and Michigan?
It will be the University of North Carolina Tar Heels.
Woohoo!
And the Michigan Wolverines.
Anyway, and they will be playing on the deck of the aircraft carrier in front of a set of portable bleachers containing 7,000 fans.
Yeah, and it will be a select VIP thing.
Yeah.
That seems like it would be a little bit difficult to play.
It does, too.
Because you're looking at the skyline around you and mm-hmm. things like that, and you don't really have a big crowd. So.
In the event of inclement weather, they are planning to move the game below decks, although it is kind of hard to see how they're going to get all the bleachers below decks and all the fans below decks, but they must have some sort of plan.
In
any event, it doesn't rain. It only rains 5 days out of the month there, so I think they're pretty safe.
Yeah, and I think Michigan might better be a little bit worried because the Tar Heels are pretty well stacked for this year.
Like we said, woohoo!
We are biased in that term.
Yes, absolutely. It's kind of hard to tell who's the dumber in this situation. There were several "what were you thinkings" that we thought about, but this one, in my opinion, takes the cake because both parties are stupid. In Canada, the country that's not really a country.
According to South Park.
Yeah. Well, anyway, South Park the cartoon, not South Park the musical group. But anyway, in Canada, a guy stole a mobile home. The occupant was on vacation or something, so some dude thought it would be funny to steal this mobile home and take it to the next small town where it was found. And the occupant of the mobile home came to the police station to sort of, say the home was his and provide documentation that it was his so he could get it back and start living in it again. But there was one problem. The documentation was forged. So that means, who really owns this mobile home? He stole it from somebody.
I mean, when they say mobile, they really mean mobile.
These
things.
It was mobile. It had wheels and everything.
If you live in a house that you can take the wheels off of, you might be a redneck.
I mean, apparently the way they talked about it, some dude just drove up with a big truck and just hooked it on and drove off with it.
If anybody's got ideas, what do you call a redneck like that in Canada?
Which one? The one who forged the papers that he owned it, or the one that took off with it?
It doesn't matter.
Well,
it doesn't matter.
I think trailer trash would work on both counts, here and in Canada.
Woo! Wonder if they had all their teeth.
I don't know.
Wonder if they've ever seen a tornado.
Nada, huh?
Yeah, tornado.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
In Canada. I don't know if they get that many tornadoes up there.
I don't think so. I know they had one in Massachusetts recently. And
that was considered, whoa, dude, Massachusetts. Yeah. So
I think the last one was like 1993 or something that they had one. 93 or 96. Something like that.
Anyway, this mess and total chaos and editing catastrophe, from my point of view, that you have been listening to is Tech Access Weekly episode
98.
If you would like to get more information about the stories that we talked about for this episode, you can go to delicious.com/techaccess/98. If you would like to comment on our podcast, give us criticism, feedback, positive or negative, or, you know, whatever, send us email, tweet us, or call us using the information at the end of the podcast. If you would like to check out The Melting Pot on Mushroom FM, please tune in on Sunday evenings at 7 to 10 p.m. for me to hear my dulcet tones, as well as a great variety of music. And incidentally,
and that'll be on mushroomfm.com.
Yes. This Saturday, I will be having the Melting Table because I will be covering for Nancy Trzinski from 8 to 11 p.m. Eastern.
Or the Kitchen Pot.
The Kitchen Table. So you can hear more of my weird zaniness then, too. So, Until next time, everyone.
Yes, please be sure to let us know anything that you think about the show that we can include in our
100th episode. And again, the hashtag is #TAW100.
Yes, or audio tweets, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Emails. We also download from SendSpace if you want to put anything up there, mm-hmm. that kind of such. And now that I have stalled this a little bit longer, I will simply say bye-bye.
To contact the team for Tech Access Weekly, send an email to techaccessweekly@gmail.com. You may follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/TA_weekly. You may comment on our voice line at 260-2-ASK-TAW, 260-227-5829. To find a list of the stories covered in each episode, please visit delicious.com/techaccess. Feel free to visit our website at techaccessweekly.com.